Okay, if you can kneel, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for blessing us with another Sabbath day, and thank you for blessing us all throughout the week and keeping us safe, especially during the trials. And thank you for the trials and giving us the smiles during them. And thank you for blessing our hearts, our faith, our discernment, and for the forgiveness of sin and cleansing us from all unrighteousness so that we can be worthy of the latter rain as it falls. Please bless everyone in attendance. Please bless everyone on our prayer list. And thank you for blessing us with your presence and bridling my tongue and any tongue that may speak. And we also pray, Father, that you bless the changing of the showbread. We offer this prayer unto you in the name of your Son, who is our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. Amen. And amen. And amen. Okay. Where did we leave off? Question 19, it looks like. And for those of you that are new, welcome. Sabbath blessings to everyone. If you just scroll underneath the chat room or click one of the links above it, you'll see the study notes and everything that you need. So we're on question number 19. And that question is, power was given to him over all what? And the him spoken of here is the beast, the little horn, the Vatican, the papacy, the Pope, whatever. And the verse in question, or the verse that answers this, is Revelation chapter 13, verse 7. And it says that, and it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them. And power was given over him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. Okay, let's see how far I can go here. Because some of the stuff I get a little bit too in-depth. because I cover most of this on the site. You know, on the Antichrist page. But is the mic getting better now? What's wrong with the mic? Why is the volume so low? I didn't change anything here. Oh, it sounds okay? All right, well then some people need to turn up their speakers. All right. Okay. Yeah, because I don't like messing with the volume, because I don't like to go up and down with it. And that's the only drawback with chat rooms, audio chat rooms, is some people's mics are louder than others, and so they turn, like if someone's talking before me that's really loud, they turn their speakers down, and then when the next person comes up and their microphone's at a normal rate, you know, everybody's going to have to turn their speakers back up. And there's nothing you can really do about that, because we can't really synchronize the mics. Maybe one day they'll do that with the chat room software. But anyway, Revelation 13, verse 7 is the answer. And again, it says, it was given unto him to make war with the saints and to overcome them, and power was given over him, given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. And I'm sure when Christians of old saw this prophecy, it was something a bit difficult to understand, mainly because of disobedience, because they saw no danger in hanging with the Catholics and electing them as civil authority and that. But as soon as the Vatican started to control, you know, like civil powers in Europe, and the Inquisition was in full swing, I'm sure some of the obedient Christians that still kept Sabbath understood who was fulfilling this prophecy, and they were warning as many as they could. And today, as we now see, 175 nations are in agreement with the Pope. We too can see how the Vatican has power over many kindreds, tongues, and nations, just like they did back then. But I have a few quotes from Rome itself wherein they flaunt this power, which in so doing further confirms they have fulfilled the prophecy. And like usual, you can get these quotes from either the Antichrist page on the website or the Words of the Beast page, or Words of a Beast page. And this first one's from a guy named Ignaz Dallinger. He wrote it in a book called In the Pope and the Council in London on page 35. It says, "It is the office of the papacy to tread underfoot kings and emperors." It's still like that today. You know, most everyone has to bow in worship to the Pope, all political leaders. Western-type political leaders do so as well, but they'll usually do so behind closed doors. So as to keep up appearances. But Eastern-type and European-type political leaders, you know, like Tony Blair and the sort, or even Charles and all them, they'll bow before him on camera and actually kiss his hand or the ring. It used to be in the old days, you know, upwards of 1,000 years ago, that they would have to kiss the foot of the Pope. And this is why you see that statue of Jupiter, which, of course, they renamed and called it St. Peter in the Vatican with its foot extended. It's a big bronze statue that sits on a block of marble, maybe, I don't know. And it's about 4 feet off the ground so that when you walk by, you have to bow before it to kiss the foot. And some people just touch it, you know, but 90% of them will kiss it. And if you look at the foot, and I show this in my Antichrist video, I showed in the Symbols of Babylon or the Whore of Babylon flash animation that I did, and I have pictures of it on the site too, where that foot that's extended has been kissed so many times that the features of the toes have disappeared. You can only see like slits where the toes were. Now that's an awful lot of kissing. Because it's not like human beings have lips that are made out of granite. Our lips are pretty soft. So for those toes to get worn down like that just from people kissing it, that's, oh man, that's amazing how many people have fallen for this idol worship. So, but yeah, and when there's a political statement to be made, especially in religious politics, like with Islam and or even the Vatican itself. But Islam, for example, was starting to flex its muscles, and Rome had to make some kind of a statement in regards to their control over them. And they had a, you know, a PR campaign in regards where they did that with Yasser Arafat. And I have a picture in one of my newsletters, as well as in one or two videos, with Yasser Arafat kissing the ring of the Pope on camera. And then a few short months after that, he was poisoned. They murdered him after that. They get him out of the picture. And I've been saying he was poisoned for years, and people used to say, oh, it's just conspiracy. And then, what was it, last year, they exhumed his body to figure out why he was killed or how he died, because they have questions. They're assuming he was poisoned. And for some reason, they never released. You know, in other words, somebody knows there's something weird that went on with his death. And then all of a sudden, I mean, they had to make some kind of a public statement in regards to his death because they were taking his body out of his grave. And then, as usual, they figure, well, the people are going to forget about this. And so they never made a mention of it, you know, as to why they took the body out or what kind of, you know, information that they got from the second autopsy. Anyway, this next quote comes from Pope Pius IX in his Syllabus of Errors. It was issued in 1864, and he calls it errors about civil society and whatnot. And it says, "It is error to believe that kings and princes are not only exempt from the jurisdiction of the church, but are superior to the church in deciding questions of jurisdiction." And I can't remember which king it was, where the king was excommunicated from the Pope. He did something the Pope didn't like. And so the king literally had to go to Rome to apologize to him. And the Pope knew he was there. They announced his arrival, and they had him stand in the courtyard for 2 or 3 days in the snow, waiting for an audience with the Pope, just so the Pope can flex his muscles. How is that Christ-like? You know, would Jesus do that? I mean, if he's really the representative of Jesus Christ and he has the full embodiment of his spirit within, Jesus Christ would have, you know, moved him to, hey, come on, get out of the snow. So, yeah, okay, thanks. It was Henry the Fourth. Thanks, James. I'm pretty sure that's the one. All right, this next quote is from the Shepherd of the Valley, a journal of the late Bishop St. Louis. Okay. It says, if Catholics ever gain sufficient numerical majority in this country, religious freedom is at an end. So our enemies say, so we believe. And again, people seem to think it's no big deal that the borders have been opened by Bush and then Obama. It's a tactical move. It's just like with the Pope's ideas in regards to birth control. You know, there are dangerous methods of birth control that you shouldn't put in your body, like the pill, for example, which they call the pill. That the side effect is birth control. That was just to stop cramps, all right? But there are other methods that are safe, that they're not dangerous. But the Pope is against all of them. Why? Because they know if you have a lot of babies, the overwhelming majority of Roman Catholics are in the church because they were born into it. I'm one of the 11 children. My dad wanted 13. My mom wanted 12. The doctor told her to stop at 10, but God stopped her at 11 because she, you know, died on the table. They had to bring her back with that. Well, she didn't die. Her heart stopped and they just zapped her back. But, and so, because they were devout Catholics. They didn't do any birth control or anything like that. And everybody we knew had big families because of the, you know, Catholicism. And now, look. And that was in the 40s and 50s, what they called the baby boom, because it was, you know, a lot of Roman Catholics having babies. And now the majority of the Congress is Catholic. The overwhelming majority of the Supreme Court is Catholic. And it's all like, it's like this guy says, yeah, religious freedom is at an end. It's going to be at an end. And like what's going on in China. We should actually do some research on how they worship in China, even though their theology is mostly based on Catholicism, because Catholicism is really the only legal religion in China. That's what they call religious freedom. You are free to worship as a Catholic. Anything else is considered illegal. And so, but we should do some research on it in regards to how they're doing it and how well it's working, because some of them are being found out and killed and tortured and jailed and stuff like that too, but there are some that aren't. And because the day is coming when for us to be real Christians in America is going to be illegal. You're going to have to be like all the other Christians that say Allah is God or whatever else, and homosexual marriage is okay and stuff like that, and drinking is okay, and smoking pot's okay, and eating unclean foods is okay, and Sunday keeping is okay. And yes, the Seventh-day Adventist Church will say Sunday keeping is okay, because they've already got scores of Seventh-day Adventist Church. Well, they actually just call them Adventist churches, going to church on Sunday. And yeah, the Seventh-day Adventist Church did change the name. They removed the name the seventh day. So yeah, they're all going to keep Sunday holy, even the Jews. The Jews actually started doing it. They had an agreement on Halloween last year, 2013. And I made mention of their comments in regards to it 2 or 3 years ago, in one or two of my newsletters, because they even, you know, people were saying it's crazy. There's no way the Jews are going to do it, but because they've always kept Sabbath. It says, yeah, well, then you're saying that the prophecy is false. And people are still saying today that the Muslims won't do it. I says, the Muslims' God is no more powerful than the Jewish God. And people say, oh, whoa, wait a second. The Jewish God is the Christian God. You can't, you know, that's blasphemous to call. Well, no. He's not the Christian God, the Jews. He used to be, but the Jews don't worship the same God the real Christians do. They have a different idea. It's just like what the Bible says in regards to how they preach another Jesus. Like Roman Catholicism calls him Jesus, but the Jesus of Roman Catholicism and the Jesus of the Bible are two different people. And so the God of the Jew and the God of the Christian today are two different. You know, it's just like with the God of Allah, you know, the Allah God or whatever, the God of the Muslim and the God of the Christians, the God of the Jews, three different gods, totally different. And so there's no power behind those gods that they have. You know, the only power is the real God, the living God, our God. And so, yeah, just as easily as the Jews decided to go ahead with the Sunday keeping, the Muslims are going to do it too. It's either that or they're going to get annihilated. All right, this next quote is from, and it's an encyclical of Leo XIII, and he says the Catholics must penetrate wherever possible in the administration of civil affairs. All Catholics should do all in their power to cause the constitution of states and legislations to be modeled on the principles of the true church. And this is one of the reasons I did those videos. I did two videos in regards to the constitutions in the United States of America are going to be changed. And, you know, this is one of the reasons for all the wars right now that are going on. Because if the country does not want to go along with the new constitution, as they saw in Europe, they didn't really have an opportunity to go to war in Europe. So what they did is they just destroyed their economy to force the people to go along with their new ideas for new constitutions, which would allow for Sunday laws. And so they're going to change the Constitution. And we just got some really rock-solid information that they're drafting a new Constitution for America right now in the same building that they drafted the first one. And that's why I did those two videos. Okay, and then the encyclical of Pope Pius X, which he issued in 1864, says... And this is what he asserts. I mean, this is like a list of things that he more or less put out there as being his opinion as an infallible pope or whatever. He goes, the right, in other words, the Roman Catholic Church has the right to require the state not to leave any man free to profess his religion, his own religion. In other words, you don't have a right to profess your own religion. The state has a right to force you to follow them. The Vatican has the right to employ force, the right to claim dominion in temporal things, the right to have the entire control of public schools, and this is why you see. And a lot of people think, well, no, it's just mostly the government. Well, yeah, it's mostly the government controlling the schools, but who do you think is controlling our government? I mean, look at all the Roman architecture and even just your county courthouses. Let alone your state courthouses and stuff like that. Everything is, I mean, look at the White House. Look at the Capitol building. They're all Roman architecture. And I have a newsletter and a page about, you know, the United States of Rome. They've been controlling us for hundreds of years anyway. And then it says the Vatican has the right to hold princes and kings in subjection. They have the right to treat all marriages as invalid, which are not solemnized according to the forms of the Council of Trent. Oh, okay, go for it. Who cares? It's just like what that one preacher in Idaho said, and I kind of agree with him. He's saying, well, why don't we just do this to stop all these problems with, you know, because we know that the homosexuals are going to go after the Christians if we don't do something about this. So instead of trying to force the Christians to marry homosexuals or to let them have, you know, make the wedding cakes and stuff like that or whatever, whatever the case may be, take the ability from the... of the licensing for marriages away from the churches. Yeah, and that's fine. You know, we can easily marry people without a license. It doesn't matter. We're marrying people in the eyes of God. We don't have to marry people in the eyes of the land. But, you know, it's okay to, you know, obey the laws of the land. But when the laws of the land go against the law of our God, well, then we'll just do what God says. We don't need. The only problem with getting married without getting a literal civil license is it could take you up to 3 years for the wife to have her name changed. And the only reason the only reason the woman would want her name changed to the surname of her husband is for, like, homeowners insurance, hospitalization, and all this other stuff. But even that's getting all corrupted now. So, all right, and then I got two more left here. And it says that the Vatican has the right to prevent the state granting to immigrants the public exercise of their own worship. And the right to require the state not to permit free expression of opinion. In other words, free speech. Out of there. Because that dissension is what they call, like, it's more or less what Hitler did. You say anything against him. As a matter of fact, it was a guy that was just arrested last week. I put an article on the site about this. He had some statements about, some anti-Obama statements on his Facebook page. So he ended up behind bars. And then they put him in a mental institution. The judge sentenced for 30 days in a mental institution because there's got to be something wrong with you to think there's something wrong with our government, right? Well, another judge got him out of there within 7 days, and now he's, of course, suing, and who knows what's going to happen there. But it's we are in a socialist society right now. They have that kind of control now. So anyway, let's go to question number 20, see if we can get through this one. All right, it says, he was given power to continue how long? I think we kind of went over this before, but I have some different points here I like to make. And so thanks, Brother Gordon. And I just noticed Chase just put a bunch of stuff in there too. Thank you. All right. And so Revelation 13:5 says, "And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue for 42 months. And let's see what I have here. Okay, now, like I said a minute, we did cover this in question number 17, but it does bear repeating as it is one amazing prophecy. I'm just going to go over this as quickly as I can in regards to this 42-month thing, because it calls it 42 months here, but Daniel 7:25 actually calls it a time, which is 1 year in prophecy, a times 2 years in prophecy, and a dividing of a time, which is a half a year in prophecy. So that's a times, or a time times and dividing of a time, which is also 3.5 years or 42 months. And still some say that, you know, like I said before in question number 17, that 42 months does not equal 1,260 days, because all our months do not equal. We get some months that are 30 days. February is 28 days, unless it is a leap year. And then there's some 31-day months, but these are biblical months, and you can actually go by and verify them in Genesis chapter 7. And Genesis 7 says that Noah, the rains started for Noah on the 17th day of the second month. And then in Genesis chapter 8, verses 3 and 4, it says that the water receded at exactly 150 days, and then the ark rested on the 17th day again, but now it's on the 7th month. So you've got 5 months, right, to the day. And then it also said 150 days, so you just do the math. It's, you know, 5 divided by 150 is 30. And then we also know, give you a day for a year issue, because a lot of people say that the 42 months is specifically only 42 months. It's only 1,260 days. Well, if that's the case, then we've got a big problem with historic record, because we know what happened from the time of Nebuchadnezzar all the way up until 1844, that ends the 2300-year prophecy. We know those are, if you try to say that they only mean days, then all those nations had to come to power and be surrounded, then be conquered, and then, you know, knocked out of power, and then another nation comes to power. And it has to happen 4 times in the course of 3.5 years. It's not possible. And then if you go with the 2300-year prophecy, you know, still, you having to come to fruition in 7 or 8 years is not possible either. But if you believe Ezekiel 4:6, where it says, "I have appointed thee each day for a year," or Numbers 14:34, where it says that, after the number of days in which you search the land, even 40 days, each day for a year. So according to Ezekiel and the book of Numbers, that's 1,260 years, or days is actually years. And so, but let me see if I got anything else on this that I didn't mention last time. I think I got, because I'm more or less trying to repeat some of these things just for the sake of repeating in this study. This study will eventually be on the website. We're only in study lesson number 22, and we've got 31 of them or 33 of them, I can't remember. Right now, with my notes, and I highlight, and I put little links. Well, I haven't been, I should have been linking out each number, which I didn't think to do that, but I'm using WordPerfect anyway, so it wouldn't, it's really going to mess up the links. I'm at 316 pages of notes right now, and so it's going to be probably twice that by the time we're done with the study. So I'm not going to have time to go through there to do all that, but I'll just probably offer it as a document. You just use Control F to find the stuff you're looking for. But let's see. I don't know if I mentioned. I did mention General Berthier in 1798. Yeah, to later confirm what the prophecy says here. Where are we at? The 42 months, which is the 1,260 years. Did that actually happen? So let me just go over this again for the sake of repeating in case there's some new people here. You have in the year 1798, we got to backtrack a little bit there, because Vigilius ascended the papal chair in the year 538 AD under the military protection of Belisarius, according to the History of the Christian Church, Volume 3, page 327. So that's when the Roman Catholic Church became a church and a state at the same time, or a woman riding on a beast, as the Apostle John saw in the vision of Revelation. So if the prophecy is accurate, and it really is 1,260 years, you just add 1260 to 538, and you get to the year 1798, because that's what it says. It's going to receive a mortal wound at the end of that time. It's going to end in exactly 1,260 years. And 1798, General Berthier made his entrance into Rome, and he abolished the papal government, and he established a secular one, and that's according to the Encyclopedia Britannica, 1941 edition. And there's a lot more statements out there and evidences in regards to what happened with General Berthier, who was sent in by Napoleon in 1798. But I like to use Encyclopedia Britannica because nobody balks on that one. Everybody else will say, oh, that's Vatican contrived, or the people, the Catholics will say, oh, that's just a bogus, you know. But they all like the encyclopedias, though. And so when you use that kind of stuff, they have no way around it. And so I think we can end it there. Then we'll pick it up at question number 21 next week. I hope and pray you were blessed.